Good evening. Welcome to class. Tonight is going to be a little different. I'm recording this particular class. Today is January the 21st, I think. Yeah. And I'm recording this class, and it's going to be for Alliance of Honorable Men and for Spirit Life Training. And give you a little background on why I'm doing it a little different is last night I woke up with had a dream that I was ministering in a church, and I was supposed to be talking on and ministering on the identity, your identity in Christ. And in the middle of the message, the Holy Spirit had me to shift gears and change subjects completely. And what I began to teach on, I'm gonna teach on in a few minutes, a subject that we haven't come across in this training center, but as one of the apostles, what his ministry focuses on, what God has gifted him to do. I ministered to the LTMA about a year ago on this. We had an LTMA importation call, special importation call to talk about this. And so I want to take a few moments. I may take this class and Nick this week and the week after next week. Matter of fact, let me remind you, next Wednesday, which is January 27th, we'll begin the LTMA Importation Conference. Now, you are going to be, night sessions will be mandatory. Day sessions won't, but the night session will be mandatory. You will have attendance quizzes. We'll have class on Monday night, and then Wednesday night we'll start with the LTMA. Actually, LTMA Importation starts Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, but it will be Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night. Because you're in a training center, all the night sessions will be mandatory, so you will have attendance quizzes for those. Back to what I was saying, I talked to the LTMA membership about this about a year ago, and I know that dream was on for a reason, because we as, first of all, Christians, and then we as ministers of the gospel, need to work on three things specifically. Because of this pandemic, three things were exposed during this pandemic. Number one, the first thing was exposed is our nation's relationship to God. Let's make it more specific. What was found out is a lot of people's relationship with God wasn't as tight as it needs to be. All right, so that's one. The second thing that this pandemic exposed was the health status of our country. You know, no matter whether you're, this is not political or anything to do with government, this is just facts. One thing that they agreed, they couldn't, and you know, politically, they can't agree on much right now. But here's one thing that they agreed on, that this disease, this pandemic, this virus affected those that had underlying conditions, meaning if you had diabetes, heart trouble, high blood pressure, or any other ailment, asthma, it would affect them, those people, disproportionately. So you had a lot of people, you have some people that passed, and they said they were completely healthy. Maybe so, but most times, maybe not. They might have had something they were dealing with that they hadn't discovered that they were dealing with yet. And so that's the one thing that they could agree on. And so the health of our country was exposed. The third thing that was exposed is the financial status or the wealth level of our country. People were laid off at the beginning for a month, found out they were living paycheck to paycheck. Now some people in certain parts of the country have not worked in 10 months, finding in and out jobs and trying to make ends meet. And so the body of Christ cannot be in that situation. Why? because of Galatians 3:13. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13, listen to me very carefully. Matter of fact, let's turn and read it. Galatians 3:13. And I use my Bible because I want, you know, a lot of times it give you a chance to find it. It gives me to give you a chance to find it. If I use my iPad, I can just punch it in and go right to it. But I want you to read this with me. Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3, verse 13, because we're going to read verse 13 and 14, all right? Galatians 3, verse 13, it says, watch this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, colon is there. Why? That the blessing And the blessing is made as a reference to the blessing of Abraham. So Abraham's blessing. So whatever blessing you saw Abraham with, Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. So that same blessing can come on us. All right. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, through our assignment. So reading the scripture, we see that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? The curse of the law consists of three things. Number one, second death, or eternal separation from God. The second thing that the curse of the law consists of is sickness and disease. The third thing that the curse of the law consists of is poverty. Now, Christ has redeemed us from those three things. Why? That the blessings of Abraham might come upon us. All right. Through who? Jesus Christ. All right. So the church should not be in the same position as the world system, or be going, watch this, or be going through the situation the same way as the world system. Go with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We've read this a number of times in either class. Let's look at verse 11. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 11. He said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Watch this. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those three things. For the work, for the perfecting of the saints, maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, so that the saints who are mature can do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that when the work of the ministry is done, the body of Christ can be built. All right, so notice what he said. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers to do what? To mature the saints, so the saints can do the work of the ministry, so that the church or the body of Christ can be built or expanded. So now we as ministers of the gospel, we fit in one of those fivefold ministry gifts. We cannot be subject to the curse of the law, which means we cannot be subject to separation from God. We cannot allow ourselves to be subject to sickness and disease, and we can't allow ourselves to be subject to poverty. I'm going to say that again. We cannot allow ourselves to be subject to separation from God. We cannot allow ourselves to be subject to sickness and disease. And we cannot allow ourselves to be subject to poverty. If we as leaders in the body of Christ are going to mature the saints, what are we to mature the saints in? Number one, their relationship with God. Number two, their health. Number three, their wealth. If we're to lead the people of God in those three areas, then we must be those three areas. This is why you have to consistently spend time with God. This is why you have to pay attention to God's laws on health. This is why you have not pay attention and adhere to, apply God's laws of health. Number three, pay attention to and adhere to God's laws of prosperity. Now, we as ministers of the gospel, we have to be these things before we can mature other people on those things. So that means that we, first of all, have to apply these things to our lives. This is why Apostle Thompson is so adamant about the Holy Spirit, spending time with the Holy Spirit. This is why the last 4 or 5 years he's been adamant about health. If you don't know where to start, you need to get a hold of Apostles' teachings on health. You go to LeroyThompson.tv and type in health, and you'll have a plethora of videos and teachings on health that will get you started. Why is this so important? This is not the last pandemic we're going to experience. It is not the last pandemic we're going to experience. And so we as the body of Christ, we have to be prepared to take territory when the earth is crumbling around us. We have to be able to do the work of the ministry and edify or build or expand the body of Christ. We can't expand the body of Christ if we're not prepared to do the work of the ministry. We can't do the work of the ministry if we are not matured or growing or ready to do the work of the ministry. So if my health is not A+, or my health is not optimal, then I won't have the energy to do what God is calling me to do. If my relationship with God is if I don't fellowship with him, I'm not going to know what he wants me to do. If I don't know what he wants me to do, then I can't accomplish his will. If I'm in debt up to my neck and I'm living paycheck to paycheck, then I cannot survive when the economy around me is crumbling. So this is why we have to be proficient in those three areas. Again, you need to step up your fellowship. Relationship is fortified by fellowship. Relationship is fortified by fellowship. Relationship is the connection. Fellowship is the strengthening of that connection. So even with your relationship with your family members, your relationship with them is only going to be as strong as your fellowship with them. I'm going to say it again. Your relationship with your family is only going to be as strong as your fellowship with them. That same principle applies with God. Your relationship with God is only going to be as strong as your fellowship with him. Jesus died on the cross to provide us an opportunity to have a strong relationship with the Father. But if we don't fellowship with the Father, it cannot be strengthened. So in times of trouble, we panic. Why? Because we haven't spent time with the Father. So those three areas, this is not the last pandemic. So those three things were exposed during this pandemic. And according to the word of God, things are going to get darker. But there's no reason for you as a child of God to fear darker times. Why? Because you are the light. You are the light of the world. So when darkness comes, light shines brighter. I'm going to say it again. When darkness comes, light shines brighter. So you don't have to fear what's happening. You don't have to fear what's going on. You don't have to fear what's happening around you. All you have to do is follow the Holy Spirit and improve these three areas. Your relationship with God, how is it improved? Through fellowship. Improve your health. Some of y'all gonna have to read. If you're dealing with ailments, God is a healing God. Jesus is a healing Savior. Healing is not God's best. Health is. Healing is not God's best. Health is. Healing is a pathway to health. That's why Jesus went around healing. So once you're healed, you should be able to walk in health. The reason why the body of Christ has not been able to walk in health is because we've been violating principles that God has established for our bodies. God has established principles, God has established laws for our bodies that we've been violating, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. And when we violate laws, we can't expect God to override his laws. God doesn't compromise for anyone. God doesn't compromise for anyone. He makes provisions for everyone, but he doesn't compromise for anyone. So once again, strengthening your relationship. How? By fellowship. All right. Number two, improving your health. Again, go to LeroyTums.tv. Get all the information you can on health. Listen, this is not the last pandemic. We, the body of Christ, we have to be in a position to do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry can only be done when we are mature. That's Ephesians 4:11. Grab hold of this now. Understand this. Matter of fact, go to 2 Timothy. And if it's not 2, I know it's 1. It's one of the Timothys. I think it's 2, though. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 15. Watch this. He says, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Now, this is key. A workman. Listen to me now. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or rightly understanding and applying the word of truth. So here it is, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So that means if I'm to be approved unto God, then that means I have to spend time with his word. Because God and his word is synonymous. So if I'm ought to be approved unto God, that means I have to spend time with his word, spend time with the Holy Spirit. Watch this. So a workman, a man that works what? Have an application of the word in my life. Not just reading the word, but allowing the Holy Spirit to give me application that I can apply in my life. That needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or rightly understanding the word of truth. So here it is, the Apostle Paul telling them that you need to be a workman, those that apply the word. Don't be, listen at me, do not be like an ostrich that sticks his head in the sand and thinks he's hiding and his whole body is exposed. That's what a lot of Christians do. We read the word of God, and instead of letting the Holy Spirit, we think because we read the word of God, we protect it. You think just because you read the word of God, you're protected? No, you got to read the word of God, understand the word of God, and apply the word of God in those three areas. So that means I got to read the word of God to know him better, strengthening the relationship. I have to read the word of God and see what God is not only saying about healing, but seeing what he's saying about health. And seeing what God says about wealth. Not only reading the word of God about wealth, but knowing how to apply the principles to my life. A workman who needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Spending time with the word of God so you can understand it, so you can apply it. Workman, apply it. Somebody who works the word. Somebody who works the principles. Go to Matthew's the 5th chapter. I was eating lunch with my lawyer, a friend of mine, and he has helped me legally. He's one of the foremost authorities when it comes to legalities and church law, when it's dealing with taxes and IRS. A lot of things that I know I learned from him, spending time with him. And so him and I, we eat every so often. Matter of fact, we're overdue. I need to go call him and eat with him pretty soon. We eat every so often, and we sat down to lunch, and he said, Leroy Jr., you know what is the difference between Jews and Christians? And I went, I said, yeah, one believes Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he said, that's part of it. He said, but both sometimes are in the opposite sides of the ditch. We need to get to the middle of the road. I said, what you mean? He said, the reason why you don't see, watch this, this is about to be good. He said, notice, you don't see many broke Jews, do you? I said, no. He said, you don't see many sick Jews, do you? I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, but when it comes to relationship, when it comes to relationship with the Father, he said, their ritual, they stuck on rituals. I said, you're right. He said, let's go to the other side. He said, you got Christians. He said, you got a bunch of broke Christians, don't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, you got a lot of sick Christians, don't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, but you won't find a Christian that you won't find many Christians that don't understand or know that they are born again or going to heaven. I said, no, sir, you don't. You find them. He said, in both sides of the ditch. I said, what you mean? He said, in Matthew's, he took me to Matthew's the 5th chapter, the 17th verse. He said, read that scripture. And we read it. He said, think not. This is Jesus talking. Are you in the Matthew's the 5th chapter, the 17th verse? Are you there? I'm going to give you time to get there because I want you to see this. Matthew's the 5th chapter, the 17th verse. He said, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Then he made this statement to me. When I read it to him, he made this statement to me. It changed my life. He said, Leroy, Jesus came to fulfill the law. And he paused. But he didn't come to work the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. But he didn't come to work the law. Oh, let me help you. Because it helped me. He said, Jews are proficient at working the law because they think working the law is going to fulfill the law. Catch that. He said, Jews are proficient at working the law because they think it's going to fulfill the law. And a intended consequence of fulfilling the law is getting the results of the law. So because they follow the law when it comes to their diet, they're getting the results of the law. Because they follow the law when it comes to handling their resources, their money, they're receiving the results of that law. Then on the other hand, you have Christians who are born again, blood bought with a price, redeemed from the curse of the law, but yet the curse of the law is still affecting their life. Why? Because they think Christ is come to work the law. No, Christ came to fulfill the law, but we still have to work the law. Fulfilling the law and working the law are two different things. Jesus died on the cross so that no law, worked or unworked, can keep us out of relationship with the Father. But he died on the cross so that we can have a relationship with the Father, so that he can easily tell us how to work the law. Come on. Come on. So Jesus came to fulfill the law, but he didn't come to work the law. So that means there's some things that you have to decide to do and you have to on purpose do in order to get the results of the law. Remember now, Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? The curse of the law is the results of what's supposed to happen if you don't work the law. We don't have to, no, that's why, this is why you keep getting healed without working the law. You can keep getting healed, but you will never walk in health without working the law. You will never walk in wealth without working the law. There's some things that you must do. And we as ministers of the gospel, if we're going to be in a position to mature the body of Christ for the work of the ministry, for the building of the Christ, then we have to be able to work the law so that we can teach others how to work the law. You work in the law. Well, I thought it was not based on our efforts. No, having a relationship with God is not based on your efforts. There's nothing you can do to have a relationship with God, but only one thing. Confess Jesus as your Savior. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. But from that point on, there's some decisions you have to make, some decisions you have to commit to so that the blessings of Abraham, that you can get the results of the blessings of Abraham. Do you know there are Christians that have access to the blessings of Abraham, but will not walk in the blessings of Abraham because they think they're like that ostrich, sticking their head in the sand, thinking they're protected without being a workman. The Bible talks about in Philippians, I think it is, you have to work out your own salvation. What that means? Working the law. See, the Jews worked the law to fulfill the law. But yet they're getting intended consequences of working the law. We Christians, we figure we ain't got to do nothing. Jesus paid for it all. Yeah, Jesus paid for it all, but Jesus ain't do it all. Because if Jesus did it all, then why would he say the works that I do shall ye do greater? If he did it all, why you got to do something? You shouldn't have to do nothing, but just exist. But there are laws that you have to put in play and put in practice. Now, why is this important? Because this pandemic didn't take no prisoners. This pandemic didn't take any prisoners. No prisoners at all. This is the enemy trying to silence the church, trying to weaken the church, trying to make it seem like the God we serve ain't able to protect us. The God we serve not able to provide for us. Yeah, he's able to protect us and he's able to provide for us, but we have to be willing to work within his parameters. I'm going to say it again. The God we serve can protect us. The God we serve can provide for us, but we have to be willing to work within his parameters. Can I give you an example? Adam and Eve decided not to work in the parameters of God. So God said, hey, you can't stay here. I love you, but you can't stay here. So they got cast into outside of the Garden of Eden. What I'm saying, it is possible that you be the light of the world. Ain't no sense in you being light if there ain't no darkness. So that means darkness is going to exist, but you have to be the light. You can't be the light with your head stuck in the sand. You can't be the light without doing what you need to do. So the next few weeks, after next week, we have the impartation call next week. But next few weeks, we'll start going. And in particular, you need to start right now. This book right here. You need to get this book. If you have not read this book, shame on you. If you have not read this book, shame on you. There's two books I want you to read. If you have not read this book, shame on you. Money Cometh is a revelation from God that came through Apostle Thompson. This book, now those that are in my soul class, the class I'm teaching on soul, second year students, we talked about environment. Environment does what? Produce how you think. How you think produces what? How you feel. What your feelings gonna do? Cause you to act. What you're actually gonna do? Bring certain results. So if your environment is not filled with prosperous thoughts And watch this. Thoughts from God concerning your finances, then it's going to be hard for you to apply the laws in the Bible concerning finances, because you won't have the energy, you won't have the courage or the feelings to do it. So it sounds like between your classes, your other classes with the other instructors, next week we have the LT Man Impartation Conference. I've given you this book to read. The second book I want you to read is The Four Laws of Debt-Free Living. The author name is Blaine. The last name is Blaine. Let me look it up real quick. The Four Laws. Let's see. Debt-Free Prosperity is the name of it. I'm sorry. Four Laws of Debt-Free Prosperity. Yeah. The actual book is going to be hard to find, but it's on Kindle. It's called The Four Laws of Debt-Free Prosperity. It is on Audible also. The name of the author is Blaine Harris. That's it. Blaine Harris is the name of the author. You need to get your hands. This book, Money Cometh, and The Four Laws of Financial Prosperity. I will begin to talk to you next week about what you need to do as a minister financially to get you. Because see, watch this. This country is built on debt. This country thrives off of debt. We'll get to it next week. So the way this country keeps people in bondage is by keeping them in debt. If they can keep you in debt, they can keep you in bondage. If I can keep you in debt, then I can control your every move. If I keep you in debt, then you got to follow instructions I give you. Every man and woman of God that God used in the Bible were financially independent of the system. Go research it for yourself. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Solomon, Elisha, Hezekiah. They were all independent. And what was so important about them being independent of the system? When they were independent of the system financially, that means they can say what thus saith the Lord and not be concerned about what repercussions they will have. We got preachers these days that are refusing to do what thus saith the Lord because they scared they're going to lose partners. They scared they're going to lose members. So actually, their ministries are being ran by the supporters. And so therefore, God can get limited things done when ministries are being run by supporters. The children of Israel, man, did not run those prophets. It didn't matter if they gave or didn't give. They said, thus said the Lord. That was it. The church apostolically has to get back in that position. And we cannot get in that position if we're debt laden, if we're over leveraged in debt, if we can't control our debt, if we can't control our resources, survival is important. I want you to be able to thrive. Survival is important, but I want you to thrive. Listen, when you're in survival mode, you're going to start making decisions that causes you to survive. Not so that means if God tells you to do something, you say, God, I got this going on. Survival going to come before the word of God. So the best thing to do is position yourself that when a pandemic hits, you're not in panic mode. Some of y'all panicked during the pandemic, got nervous, scared. What I'm going to do? Why? Because you start looking at all the debt you owe. Now, don't be alarmed. Next class I'm going to start, we're going to start walking our way out of this. We're going to start walking our way out of this. We're going to spend a few weeks on this, and then we get back to our textbooks because this is important. Listen, as ministers of the gospel, we have to be in positions to where we can do and say what thus saith the Lord. Why? Because according to Ephesians 4:11, We are responsible for maturing the saints, preparing them for the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can be built or expanded, or the numbers can grow. All right. So remember now, this pandemic is not last pandemic. So there's three things we got to work on. Number one, and that's what I love about this training center, is helping us do these things. Especially number one, improving your relationship with the Father. How you improve relationship? Through fellowship. So I cut myself off. So between this class, your other classes, the importation, you don't have much time to be wasting on being entertained. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, a workwoman, who needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sticking your head in the word of God, then coming up ready to apply something in your life. Not sticking your head in the word of God and thinking you covered when your whole body, your whole life is exposed to the world system. You're thinking, you're telling God, I'm healed in the name of Jesus, but you're going to eat recklessly. You said, I called myself out of debt, but you're going to create more debt. Or you don't even know how you don't even know where your money going. We're going to work on those things. Until I look forward to seeing you at the importation conference, and the following week, I'll see you then, and we'll be right back here working on this. Listen, the Holy Spirit is, I feel the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you. That's who he is. He will help you unravel everything in your life so that you can be who God called you to be. So don't panic. Don't be alarmed. Don't get nervous. Don't get scared. All you have to do is, Lord, say, Lord, create in me. Say it with me. Lord, create in me. Same prayer David prayed. Lord, create in me a clean heart, a clean soul. Lord, renew your spirit within me. Let my motives be right. God, help me. When you turn your heart toward God in that area, in your area of your health, in the area of your finances, the Holy Spirit will come in and begin to change things and improve things and heal things and eliminate debt. Do things for you that you can't do on your own. It's not going to be because of your efforts. It's going to be because of your decisions. I'll see you next week.